We're going to start out with a need for some young volunteers, please. So kids who can, and you can decide if you're a kid or not, okay? As I see a hand raised. I need volunteer kids who can jump up and spin around. If you're a kid who thinks, whatever age, if you think that you can jump up and spin around, please come up here. Come on. Hopefully more than just one, yeah. And then stand in front of there so people can see you. I was expecting Grace to come up here right away. Okay, so spread out just a little bit so you don't bump each other. Go that way, just a little bit. Okay, face them. First.
Okay, I want you to jump up and do a quarter turn so you end up turning that way. Ready?
Go ahead, jump. I think there's more energy than is even needed. Okay, so now face back the way you were. Okay, so now you're going to try to jump so that when you jump up and turn, you're actually facing me. Ready? Jump. Okay, that was 180 degrees. That's called a 180 degree turn. Turn back. Last one. Now you're going to see if you can jump up and spin all the way around so when you end up, you're still facing the people that you're facing. Ready? Go. And you can take a seat, so go ahead and give them a hand. So the kids found it a little bit challenging to do that 360. If you want to try that later when people aren't watching, try it at home later if you like, you may. I'm going to suggest this morning that all of us need to be ready to do a 490. And before somebody thinks, wait a second, Pastor, that's like going around, and some of you are already calculating, I can see it. That's like going around more than once, it's almost 1.5 times, okay? Don't worry, it's not that kind of 490 that I'm talking about. This morning we're gonna talk about forgiveness. There is no outline on the sheet this week. Very typically when we have our bulletins, we have an outline. We don't this morning, but that's okay. The outline is going to be so easy that you're going to be able to just remember it in your head. So we're going to first talk about God's forgiveness and then our forgiveness. Simple as that. God's forgiveness and our forgiveness. So first, let's go ahead and talk about God's forgiveness. Many of you know, if you've been a part of the church family, many of you know that I try to encourage people to think of forgiveness in terms of big F and little f, right? So big F and then little f. And it's not so easy to draw backwards as you might think. So you can try that at home later too. So big F is what happens when a person first becomes a Christian. Okay, that's the forgiveness that gets you into the kingdom. Little f then is forgiveness that we receive after a person becomes a Christian. So big F, little f. So now we're gonna dig in just briefly and think about God's big F forgiveness and then little f forgiveness. In Acts chapter 10, God had led the apostle Peter to talk to a man named Cornelius. Cornelius was not a Jew like Peter was. So Cornelius had actually called together, it says, his friends. He had called together his family. And this is what Peter had said to them. And he, meaning God, ordered us to preach to the people and to solemnly testify that this is the one, in other words, that Jesus is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets, says Peter, the Jewish prophets of the Old Testament, testify of him, that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. So a person gets big F forgiveness from God by believing in Jesus for the first time, which means that believing that Jesus was who he said he was, which is God's son, sent from heaven on this rescue mission, and it means believing that Jesus did what he said he came to do, which was to offer his life as a sacrifice. When the Lord Jesus was celebrating what we call the Lord's Supper in the final week of his life, there was a point at which he took a cup. He gave thanks to God for it, and he said this, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is being poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." See, the Apostle Paul would later say that this cup was a reminder of Jesus's blood that was shed as he gave his life as a sacrifice. Jesus's blood, his sacrifice, was a covenant. Covenant is an agreement. It was a new agreement that God was making with people if they accepted what Jesus was doing for them. So the person believing in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins. Sins are the wrong things that we think, that we say, that we do. God created us, and so as our creator, he's the one who sets the standard for how we are to live in order to live with him forever. But that's a problem, because he's perfectly holy, he's perfectly good, he's perfectly pure, and every person ever born, except for the Lord Jesus, fails to meet the standard that God set. But God knew that would be the case, and he provided the solution, believing in Jesus. As soon as a person does that, whether they're young, whether they're old, their sins are forgiven, they meet God's standards so that they can be with him forever, and they become new inside. So that's big F forgiveness. Forgiveness of God that comes from deciding to follow Jesus and become a Christian. It's the forgiveness that comes with accepting Jesus' sacrifice as being sufficient for our personal sin. Now I'm going to read a passage that reveals something that's very important about that sacrifice, about Jesus' sacrifice. It's from Hebrews chapter 10. Quoting the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, the author of Hebrews wrote these words, "And their sins and lawless deeds I will no longer remember." And after that quote, the author of Hebrews wrote, "Now where there is forgiveness of these things, an offering for sin is no longer required." So that's Hebrews 10, verses 17 and 18. If you were to share verse 17 with a non-Christian, they might think, no, wait a minute. You believe that God knows everything. How could God say through Jeremiah that he would no longer remember people's sins? If he's perfect, he has a perfect memory. Well, what we would need to explain to them is that when God uses language at times, it's so that we understand. When God says, "I'll no longer remember their sins," what he means is that he won't hold those things against us. Then what verse 18 means, where there is forgiveness, and we're talking about big F forgiveness, where there is forgiveness, an offering for sin is no longer required. The important truth that is conveying is that Jesus' sacrifice was perfect. Once we have big F forgiveness, we don't have to think about offering any other kind of sacrifice for that forgiveness. What Jesus did was enough. Amen. All right, let me talk just a little bit about little F forgiveness. I said earlier that little F forgiveness is what happens then after a person is a Christian. Even after I become a Christian, I have to confess my sin to God? Yes, absolutely. We know from the Apostle John's first letter in the New Testament, which was written to those who already believed in Christ, that was true. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 reads like this. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous." A lot of you know this in your minds already. "So that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So big F forgiveness is what enables us to be with God forever. Little F forgiveness is what enables us to be close to God in this life, to feel connected to him, to have fellowship with him. I'm going to ask a question, but this is the kind of question where I want you to just answer in your mind, okay? Just keep it inside your head. You don't have to say anything out loud. when the Apostle John says, if we confess our sins, I'm going to give you three options. When he says, if we confess our sins, does John mean A, if we confess our sins, and we do, B, if we confess our sins, but we don't, or C, if we confess our sins, maybe we do, maybe we don't? Keep your answer to yourself, A, B, or C. It's the last one. He's saying the last one. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. In other words, it's up to us to talk to God about the wrong things that we think and that we say and that we do, even after big F forgiveness. So why? Why confess our sins after receiving Christ? Why seek little F forgiveness? Verse 9 says that when we do, God will forgive us and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The International Children's Bible tries to make that last part a little bit easier to understand. They say God will make us clean from all the wrongs that we have done. And that's helpful, but that wording isn't quite good enough. They were trying to simplify it, and so it's not quite good enough. Cleansing us from all unrighteousness does involve making us clean from the wrong things that we actually have done, that we still do as Christians. But it also involves making us clean from the power of sin that's still inside of us. God does this as time goes on so that we'll do wrong less often. But we have to understand that God's ongoing work of cleansing is connected to our ongoing work of confessing sin. So that's little F forgiveness. Big F forgiveness delivers us from eternal punishment. It enables us to be with God forever in the life to come. Little F forgiveness enables us to live this life better, to become more like Christ in this life. So that's the first part of the outline, God's forgiveness. There were two parts to God's forgiveness, right? Big F, little F. So now that we talk about our forgiveness, there are also going to be two parts. We're going to talk about forgiveness received and then forgiveness given. So let's think about our forgiveness received. And we've actually kind of already alluded to this, right? When a person receives Christ for the first time, they receive big F forgiveness. But people have to get to that point, don't they? Different places in the New Testament connect this idea of repentance with big F forgiveness. And repentance is a big change in the way that we think. That's really what repentance is about. It's a big change in the way that we think. It's thinking so differently about something that the way that we act is different because we're thinking different. And so repentance typically means thinking differently about God, means thinking differently about ourselves, means thinking differently about the way that we live. And unfortunately, there are some people who either don't want to repent or they think they don't need to. They've not received big F forgiveness because they haven't received Christ and they haven't asked God to forgive them. But some people think that God will weigh the things that we do, so that we'll have the bad things on one side and the good things on the other side, and surely the good is going to beat out the bad. They haven't accepted God's solution for their problem. They believe in their solution to that problem. Or maybe there are some people who think that they don't need big F forgiveness either because God doesn't exist, or there's no such thing as eternal life, or because everybody goes to heaven. And the scriptures address all those different ideas and how they're not right. But if you've received Christ, if sitting here this morning that you would say that you have received Christ, then this morning you have received big F forgiveness. You do have eternal life and you will enjoy God and his creation forever. And that should lead us all to thanksgiving and should lead us all to praise. Amen.
Amen.
I want to give you a couple other variations though. We may meet a person who says they can't be forgiven, right? They can't receive big F forgiveness. Well, first of all, that's a lie that's coming from the devil. And maybe the best thing that we could say to a person like that is, you're thinking that forgiveness depends on you, right? That the bad things that you have done stop somehow God's forgiveness, but that's not true. We would say that forgiveness depends on Christ, and what he did was perfect. And we could even take him to what we already talked about, which was Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Right? I mentioned that earlier, that no other sacrifice is needed once we accept Jesus' sacrifice for our sin. That person may not realize it, but if they say that they can't be forgiven, what they're actually saying is that their sin is stronger than God's forgiveness. Another variation could be that somebody would say that they have received big F forgiveness, but that they can't forgive themselves, right, from something that was in their past. And for any of these examples that I'm giving you, you know, we want to have compassion on those. What do you think we should say to the person who says, God has forgiven me, I understand that, but I can't forgive me? What would we say to a person like that? Fundamentally, that is a faith problem. That is a person having a faith problem, because we have to learn to act on God's perspective on things and what he's done and what his scriptures say. Not what we have done, not what we think, not our perspective. If scripture says that by faith in Christ, we receive big F forgiveness, little F forgiveness too for that matter, then we have to trust what he says and we have to act on that. I just made mention of a little F forgiveness received and believing God for that. So now let me talk just a little bit more about little F forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 had said, if we confess our sins, and we said that was written to followers of Christ, and that it was up to us to confess the things that we have thought, said, done that are wrong. And when we do that, we maintain a closeness with God. We have an ongoing cleansing that happens. We need to hang on to that truth. Okay, we need to hang on to that truth. There are many times that I've been discouraged over, you know, my own sin because of wrong thoughts or words or actions that I've done. And they tend to be repetitive patterns, right? The same things kind of over and over and over. And I would say that many of you would say that it's true for you too. So this is encouraging us to cling to the truth of verse 9. As I confess, God will continue to do an ongoing work in me. So this is now under that category of our forgiveness received. With our little F forgiveness, we receive encouragement from knowing that God hasn't given up on us, that he continues to do that work that's inside of us. Okay, so we might think, well, then how often do I need to do that? Right? Being very pragmatic, how often do I need to do that? How often do I need to confess my sins? As Christians, as believers. And I think we take our cues from the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. So there's a very good argument to be made for a daily confession of our sin as believers. But at the very least, we should have some kind of regular confession of our sins. So all that has to do with our forgiveness received. And now we're going to finish by thinking about our forgiveness given. In other words, giving forgiveness to others. First, let's think about why we should give forgiveness to others. Why? And it goes actually back to the Lord's Prayer. We want forgiveness, right? Okay, everybody should be willing to admit that we want forgiveness. And when I gave that partial quote of the Lord's Prayer, I bet you that there were people that had already kind of completed it in their minds. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as you've also forgiven our debtors. One of the ways that the New Testament describes sin is this heaping up of debt. And we know that Jesus is talking about true spiritual debt, not monetary debt, because in Luke's version of this same prayer, Jesus says, and forgive us our sins. He just says it very plain there. Regularly, we ask God for little f forgiveness, forgive us our sins as We have forgiven those who have sinned against us. We receive forgiveness to the degree, talking about little f forgiveness here, we receive forgiveness to the degree that we offer forgiveness to others. We receive forgiveness from God to the degree that we forgive other people who have done wrong to us. So besides the aspect of wanting to stay in a close relationship with God, we regularly confess our sins, we regularly make sure that we forgive others so that we ourselves can keep receiving little f forgiveness and all the blessings that the Apostle John said come with that. Now, it's true that there are those who say, I can't forgive myself, I just can't. But there are others who say, I just can't forgive him or her or them. And I hope we see the danger in that. It's not just that we can develop a root of bitterness inside of us. It's that we don't end up receiving the little f forgiveness from God. So do a study on forgiveness on your own, and you'll see that God is very serious about it. I'm going to give you two questions that I think you might find helpful. These are two questions to think through in situations of forgiveness. One is that God calls us to forgive the person, not the bad thing that they did. So the question is, am I holding back giving forgiveness because I can't forgive the thing that they did? Okay? That's not your job. That's not your job. That's his department. God is the only one who can forgive the sin. So he doesn't call us to forgive the sin. And for some, I found that that's actually kind of a help, that once they realize, oh, I don't have to forgive the bad thing that they did, then it's easier. And we say that's correct. We're to forgive the person, not the action. So that's one thing that can maybe be a help. Others have found it helpful to think through what something has done to them when they're angry and they're hurt. Sometimes it's to ask the question, well, did they sin against you? Or if you're saying this to yourself, well, did they sin against me? And there have been times that I've talked with people that they'll go, well, no, they didn't sin against me. So that helps you to understand exactly what happened. And then you can process through what happened because you realize, okay, I didn't like what they did. I don't like the way it affected me, but I'm not saying that they actually sinned against me. And others are going to respond, well, yeah, and their sin was, and they'll be able to say, you know, scripturally what that sin was. But again, that will help us to think through more concretely. And it'll also help us, if you decide that they did sin, to say exactly what you're forgiving that person for. Forgiving the person can sometimes be helpful when you think it was for. And you can ask yourself, was it deliberate what they did to me? Was it accidental? Was it specifically with us in mind? Or was it just, you know, somebody's I'm angry at the world day? But if he, she, they did sin against us, God calls us to follow his example and to give forgiveness to them. So now we get back to my words at the very start where I said that we all are to do a 490. Here's what Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22 say in the New Living Translation. Then Peter came to him, to Jesus, and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? No, not seven times, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. That's our 490. 490 times. Now, there are manuscripts that'll differ, so you'll have some Bibles that will say 70 times seven. There'll be other Bibles that simply say 77. And if we say to ourselves, oh, shoot, only 77 times, then you're missing the point. Jesus was using exaggeration to get his point across. We keep forgiving even the same person over and over again. Because God has forgiven us, we are born again. Our forgiveness received is big F forgiveness. And we have our forgiveness received, little f, if we confess. But that obligates us. That obligates us to forgive others. to give forgiveness to others. Big F doesn't change. Some people have this mistake where they think that once they have big F forgiveness, they can lose it. You can't lose it. Okay? You can't lose that forgiveness. Little F can vary. The forgiveness that we receive after receiving Christ, that can vary because it depends on as we confess. The benefits that go along with that, the first John talked about, that can also vary too in a Christian's life. But that's forgiveness. God's forgiveness, our forgiveness. I think in all that we've talked about this morning, all these different parts having to do with forgiveness, all of us always have something that we can work on. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, there are so many great truths in your scripture, and one of the greatest is that on this mission where Christ was sent to rescue people and to offer the perfect sacrifice, to give his life as the perfect sacrifice, that for the person who does that, who says in faith, yes, Lord God, I believe that I need that I have sinned. I believe that he did what was necessary for me. And then with that, we can actually get forgiveness of sins, that big F forgiveness. And after that point, once we have done that, we don't have to go back and forth about heaven and hell and in or out or any of those things. We take you at your word and we say that, yes, I have received Christ. I truly have. And so I truly have that forgiveness. And I pray, Father God, that if there's anybody here that has not done that, that they'll understand it's not that complicated, that nobody can offer anything good enough to win your favor, to get to spend eternity with you. And as a result, all they have to do is to receive what you've already given as a gift millennia ago. Thank you, Father God, that even today, Christ is saving people around the world of all cultures as they hear about this great truth and receive it for themselves. And I pray, Father God, for those of us who truly have received Christ, that truly are born again, that you'll speak to us in the areas where we need to change. I pray, Father God, that you'll give us hearts that are willing to confess our sins, even after salvation, so that we can maintain that closeness with you, so that we can see you do that continuing work of cleansing us. Thank you, Lord, that you're so committed to doing that. We praise you that you're a committed God who doesn't just let us be, but that you want to continue to conform us to the image of your Son. And Father God, where we're struggling in some of these areas, any of the ones that we talked about of a lack of forgiving ourselves or forgiving somebody else, oh Lord, have mercy on us. Continue to be patient with us, but guide us to the great truths that your scripture says about forgiveness. And we pray in Jesus' name.